Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So the Occupy Wall Street protests, we've done considerable coverage of those over the past month. They've underscored for people in New York and for people watching them around the country, a longstanding tension in this country. The occasional conflict between the constitutional right to free speech and assembly in America and the more ambiguous expectation that people will not have their lives disrupted by loud and unruly behavior and that the community has an interest in enforcing a code of conduct. There are noise ordinances, public nuisance laws, and the like. Well, does the right to protest include the right to build and maintain, say, a tent city in the middle of a busy business district, as is the case in Lower Manhattan? The Constitution doesn't protect tents. That's not a Supreme Court justice speaking. That's New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg saying at a news conference earlier this week that the Constitution protects speech and assembly, but not, as I just mentioned, tents. Also, J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Chairman Jamie Dimon referred this week to being, quote, vaguely familiar with the right to free speech, suggesting he's more familiar with another freedom to conduct commerce. Well, what are the constitutional questions in our time in this potential collision of freedoms at the Occupy Wall Street demonstration? Joining us now is Jeffrey Rosen, professor at George Washington University Law School and a friend of the program. Jeff, it's also always great to talk to you.
It's always great to be here.
You know, as you look at these protesters out there and the pictures and, listen to what Mayor Michael Bloomberg said, the Constitution doesn't protect tents. When do tangible items like tents and cities and, you know, occupations of public spaces go out of the domain of speech into something else? What are the precedents here?
There is a precedent, and it suggests that the mayor is wrong to say that the Constitution doesn't protect tents. It's rare that you have such a clear answer to a constitutional question, but there was a case in 1984 called Clark versus Community for Creative Nonviolence, and this involved a tent city protest in Lafayette Park and the mall in Washington, D.C. to protest the plight of the homeless. And there the Park Service wanted to enforce regulations that prohibited sleeping in Lafayette Park with tents. And the Supreme Court considered the question. At the very beginning of the decision, it said overnight sleeping in connection with the demonstration is expressive conduct protected to some extent by the First Amendment.
Now, is there any sort of caveat there? Because in Washington, of course, there are all kinds of spaces that, you know, constitute sort of national monuments, that there's a sort of public trust associated with all kinds of public spaces in Washington, D.C., the mall, et cetera. You've got Zuccotti Park here in New York, which is supposedly privately owned. It's a more constrained space. Arguments can be made about sort of safety and traffic movement, et cetera. Does the court ever distinguish between those kinds of things?
Absolutely. And I was going to go on to say the second sentence of the opinion is, although tents are protected to some degree, nevertheless, they could be regulated here. And in that case, the protest was allowed to be banned because even symbolic conduct like sleeping in a tent is subject to reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions. And the court said that because these park department regulations hadn't been passed for the purpose of suppressing speech, but were being applied in a neutral way that served the protest of keeping the park clean, therefore the protesters in that case could in fact be prohibited from sleeping. So Zuccotti Park is just, it's complicated and it's different. As you say, it's privately owned, it's not publicly owned, and it's made more complicated here by the fact that the corporation that owns the park recently adopted new rules prohibiting sleeping and enforcing all sorts of other regulations in the middle of the protests. So if this actually were taken to court, one question would be, were the rules adopted for the specific purpose of suppressing the protesters' message, or are they neutral rules being applied as reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions? So it's not a clear legal case, but the basic point is the mayor's effort to distinguish between the tent sleeping and the other expressive protests is a little too crisp. For these protesters, sleeping is a big part of their message, and they have a strong symbolic point anyway that it may have some sort of constitutional protection.
We're speaking with Jeffrey Rosen, professor at George Washington University Law School. Well, Jeff, let's push a little further into this idea of private property, because it's been bandied about it a number of times that if this corporation that owns Zuccotti Park chose to do so, they could clear the place immediately. Is that true?
That's not so clear either. There are a series of other precedents involving shopping malls. There's a case called Pruneyard. And the point there is that if the mall is generally experienced as a kind of semi-public forum where people routinely go to engage in protest and other activities, in that case, handing out leaflets was permissible. So, again, the fact that it's not public property gives the corporation more authority, but it doesn't mean that they have carte blanche to suppress speech in whatever ways they choose.
But didn't the court, you know, really allow shopping mall owners to really regulate speech to a much, much greater degree than we're seeing in Zuccotti Park?
No question. And the main lesson that we're learning here is that it's a voluntary accommodation between the protesters and the police that avoided a big First Amendment conflagration. And that was a great lesson. And the polls showed that there's huge public support for these protests. Most people think that the tent should continue.
Yeah, 72%,
and,
I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable. And faced with that political reality, the mayor wisely decided that it was better to accommodate the protesters than to confront them. So absolutely, you know, if they wanted to press their legal rights to the four, they might be able to get away with it. But right now, the political situation, thankfully, will not allow that.
A constitutional frame, but a sort of voluntary political sort of standoff between the protesters and the authorities in New York. Before we go, you know, comment on this Jamie Dimon comment where he says he's vaguely familiar with the right to free speech, but he's suggesting that the freedom to conduct commerce is actually more important for the city of New York. Has there ever been a sort of free speech versus, well, we've got to get business done here kind of conflict in constitutional theory?
One isn't coming immediately to mind. There are certainly lots of cases pitting the rights of corporations against the rights of protesters, people who want to insert messages into corporate envelopes and stuff like that. But generally, corporate speech has lower First Amendment protection than core political speech. Most of the justices think that political speech should trump corporate speech, so I think Jamie Dimon is on shaky constitutional ground.
And if there's something about the protest that interferes with the livelihood of bankers, is there a constitutional question there?
You know, if you're actually doing a constitutional taking, or you're removing someone's property, but the fact that you may be making the bank's business model a little bit more awkward is not a good constitutional argument.
Well, it's really interesting stuff. Jeff Rosen, professor at George Washington University Law School, the potential collisions of freedoms in the Occupy Wall Street protests. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Great, anytime.